Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I will be preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 35, the same text that Dr. Schmidt preached on Monday. So I toyed with the idea of just having a recorder up here and hitting the play button and doing the, listen to the master. But then I realized this is going to be a form of an A-B test, you know, where you can test and compare how we wrestle with the test, the text. Unfortunately, I'm the B and he was the A. But I humbly accept that position as we talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and this strange passage that where Paul talks about the time is now for those who have wives should live as if they had none, and that those who buy possessions as if they had none. Don't you hate it when people begin a conversation with the words, now don't worry? Because you know there's a reason why you should worry. I had a phone call that wakened me from my sleep about midnight several years ago. There was a young man on the other end of the line. He was a member of my youth group. And he began the conversation, "Pastor, don't worry. I don't think I'm going to go to jail." And I went from being sound asleep to fully awake, running at 120%. What do you mean? Well, he had inadvertently gotten locked into the church after the youth event that evening, and when the alarm went off, he thought it was a good idea to hide from the police. And so he had talked them into allowing him to call me, and I was able to negotiate his freedom. Several years ago, I was working in a medical camp in India, assisting a doctor. Now, I don't want you to get the impression I know anything about medicine. I know how to take blood pressures and do the temperature, and that was it. But anyway, that was my task, and the camp was going really well. It was busy. One after another, patients came in a variety of conditions. Toward the afternoon, we hit an unusual lull in the process. I didn't know what was going on until one of the doctors came to talk to me, one of the Indian doctors I knew really well. And she began the conversation, "Pastor Todd, don't worry." And it was then that I noticed that the other people working in the camp were in a corner looking at me with that look of, as if they were looking at a man going for an execution. And instantly I began to worry. She said, "The last patient you worked with is one of my patients, and you've been infected with leprosy. But don't worry, it's not that contagious. And as long as you wash your hands really well with a chemical scrub, you should be okay. You're going to want to monitor this." And it was then that I noticed the doctor that had been working with me scrubbing his skin off on his hands. I was like, you know, what do you mean, don't worry? Fortunately, by the grace of God, I didn't get leprosy. And, you know, within a couple of months, I was able to go move back in with my family and enjoy living there with them in peace. And eventually, we began to hold hands. We're working up from there. But when someone says, don't worry, you know bad news is coming. But of course, there's the double whammy of anxiety builders, and that's when they say, don't worry, but change is coming. You know, like when the boss gathers the group together and he says, don't worry, don't be anxious, but there's going to be some changes around here. And you know that that means some people are going to be let go. People, in fact, begin packing their boxes. Or you're going to lose some benefits, or your income's going to be cut back. There's some bad thing. There's nothing worse than someone introducing change by saying, don't worry. But in our text today, Paul does that very thing. He says, don't be anxious. I don't want you to be anxious. But this present world, in its form, is passing away. Everything's changing. Well, if it was a good change, he wouldn't have said, don't worry, wouldn't he? I mean, no one says, don't worry, you're getting a raise. It's always the other way around. But Paul begins, don't worry. So immediately we become anxious. And in fact, the early Christian church, this is the struggle they were dealing with, is what do I do? How do I handle this? This world is passing away. So do I marry or don't I marry? Do I own possessions or don't I own possessions? How do I handle this? How do I handle this world that is passing away? And it caused a great deal of anxiety. And so that's what I want to focus on. You see, their solution to this was, marriage causes anxieties, possessions causes anxiety, so God is calling us to put these things away. Obviously, God wants us to live as if we were not married and to not own possessions, and so we're going to live celibate, chaste lives in some hideaway with eating bread and water and living in a stone place because that's what God wants us to do. Those things cause us anxiety. Anxiety is bad. Therefore, let's get rid of the things that cause anxiety. Well, you know, that could work, but that's not what God wants. Paul has a better way. Paul has a better purpose in writing. He doesn't want us to be anxious because we have a wonderful gift in this creation and a wonderful promise in the creation to come that's ours through baptism by the grace of God. We have a new life that's coming to us, guaranteed by the blood of the Lamb, Christ our Lord. But we also have a wonderful creation here to enjoy in the good gifts that we have from the Father. James says, everything good comes from the Father above. And so the tension is, how do we live this way? What does this mean for marriage? What does this mean for the owning of possessions? The truth is, if we get rid of marriage, we haven't solved the worry problem. And if we get rid of our possessions, we haven't solved the anxiety problem. Because the problem is our sinful, broken heart that is anxious and filled with worry. And so Paul challenges us to do something different. He challenges us to give up. To give up ownership of our marriages. To give up ownership of our possessions. And that's the have and had language in the text. Those who have wives, those who own wives, those who have that as theirs to hold and to keep, it's their treasure, should surrender it. Give it up. Give up the ownership of it. And instead receive our spouse, our wife, our husband, and marriage as a steward, receiving a treasure from the master. It's not ours to keep, and therefore ours to care for. It is ours to enjoy, ours to maintain, ours to develop. And now I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about my family, my wife. I don't have to worry about my things, my treasures, because they're not mine, they're the Lord's. And I can find freedom from that anxiety of the now but not yet by surrendering them to the Lord and instead living as a steward. What does this mean in practical terms? It means that when I live with my wife, I don't see my wife as my possession and something that I'm to control and something that I'm to manipulate. You see, we worry about these things. At first, we worry whether we're going to find somebody, and then we worry whether we're going to be able to keep that person and whether that person is going to be happy with us. And then we begin to worry about, is that person doing their fair share at the home? And then we begin to worry, will that person allow me to get a motorcycle because I'd look really cool in a motorcycle? And, you know, we worry about all kinds of things in our marriages. In our possessions, the same thing. You get possessions. You know, the first time you get your first smartphone, and it's wonderful, and then you see the new smartphone, and your smartphone looks really dumb. And you worry, how long is my smartphone going to be smart? And we're filled with anxiety. Is someone going to steal my stuff? Will my stuff break? Can I make payments on my stuff? Can I afford the insurance on my stuff? And all these worries consume us, and Paul says, give it up. That the time is now for you to surrender ownership and view yourself as a steward of your family, a steward of your gifts, the treasures that God has given you. They're not yours to possess, and they're not your responsibility. They are yours to care for and to love. And in a practical sense, that means that I look at my wife as someone that I am to care for and to love. And my focus shouldn't be on you know, worry about protecting her from the threats of the enemy. That's the Lord's job. And my concern shouldn't be with, will I lose her? That's the Lord's job. My worry, my focus, that is, should be on caring for her, encouraging her to grow in her faith, seeking to be a blessing to her each and every day. So my relationship with her isn't defined by my worry, but it's defined by my passion to make her a better person in Christ. And my possessions aren't mine to keep. They're mine to use, and to use for the glory of the Lord. And when they pass from my hands to someone else's hands, and they all do, I don't have to worry because God has given me time to enjoy those treasures and be thankful for that time I have. Now, I think if Paul were writing this letter to us at Concordia Seminary, to you, students at Concordia Seminary, I'm wondering if he would have added a third category here, the category of your ministry, your call, your passion to go serve the Lord as a servant of the Word. It seems to me that that's something that would be very easy to be anxious about. We're in the middle of interviews for placements, vicarage, things are getting taken care of, conversations are happening, and you begin to wonder, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my career? And even as first-year students, you begin to wonder, you know, how do I position myself to get the best call, and is there a way that I can help myself get back to my home district, or, you know, maybe Hawaii if there's a call out there somewhere? And, you know, so you begin to look at the call as a position, something that you own. And we know this because of our anxiety. When we're worried because we've lost control of something. And if Paul were writing this to us today, I think he would say, surrender control. You're a steward of the call, not the owner. Surrender control and know that God is your Lord and that he will give you wonderful good gifts, but trust him. He is the owner of the call. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today to give up anxiety by giving up ownership of your family, your possessions, your call, your career to the Lord, and receive them as stewards, those entrusted with these good gifts from the Lord. Please join me for prayer. Heavenly Father, you know our heart. And you know our heart wants to seize control of everything, and in its broken nature, that control corrupts everything. And you know our anxious heart. Our anxious heart that sets its affections on the things of this world and ignores the treasure of the world to come, the new heaven and the new earth. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would enable us to give up control, ownership, and to surrender them, all these things to you, that we receive them back as stewards, and that we be mindful to use them as your stewards, returning them to you with thanks and blessing. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to walk in faith and to live free of anxiety. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.